Welcome to the Bougie Black Brother Network. Welcome to Urban Lifestyle Cafe. I'm Michael, your Bougie Black Brother. And we're here for movies slash TV series slash Netflix slash Hulu, blah, 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 blah. But I'm here with my co-host, Alicia.
Hello.
And this week, we wanted to do a little something different because what we usually do is kind of binge watch certain things. And we happened, well, Alicia happened to say, this is something you really want to look at.
Definitely.
She looked at a couple of these episodes and said, you got to see The Handmaid's Tale. Mm-hmm. So, Alicia, why did you want me to see The Handmaid's Tale?
Well, you know, just finding out that it was about, it's based on a best-selling novel from Margaret Atwood. And it's a series.
Margaret Atwood.
Atwood, yeah. It's a series set in Gilead. It Torturian society in what used to be part of the United States, and Gilead is ruled by a fundamentalist regime that treat women as property of the state and is faced with environmental disasters as a plummeting birth rate, as a birth rate, and a desperate attempt to repopulate a devastated world.
Okay, so you're reading it and you're struggling to read that. So
sorry, but
let's kind of go through it.
It could have been the worst.
Yeah, I know it could have. Mm-hmm. That's why I kind of.
No. But it's, I mean, and then it's like, well, let me finish it up. Okay. So a few remaining fertile women are forced into sexual servitude. That's what they're saying. Yep. One of these women, Offred, that's her name, is determined to survive the terrifying world she lives in and find the daughter that was taken from her. So really the story is how when you started to see the show, you started to see how they were treating the women. You didn't quite understand why they were treating them that way.
So let's go back to the question.
Okay.
Why did you want me to see it before you actually learned the details?
Because it was so real.
What made it real?
Because it can happen. I actually could see how this show can happen right now and how they treat women.
Okay.
And that's where I was like, Michael, you need to see the show.
So what I found interesting was, because when I first looked at it, when Alicia said, this show you gotta see, I said, what the hell is this about? Well, it's about a bunch of women who's called handmaidens that supposedly had children for these high-class men in this new type of society. And I was like, that sounds freaking crazy. But, you know, I kind of started looking at it. But I saw about two of the series, and I was kind of like, I don't understand why this is that interesting. But then it went into the level of detail of what it is. So like Alicia was saying, Margaret Atwood, she's Canadian, but she kind of talked about a Christian society taking over the government, a totalitarian government, and with Christian theology. And what they did was use the Bible to say, you know, lust and sexual freedom of women
is actually for their advantage. The men use it for their advantage.
Yes,
to try
they actually
to,
did.
So to take control of the. Yes,
exactly. So what they did was because of these terrorist activity that took over. Well, I jumped out of the book. Let's go stay with the book. So the Christian theology and these men to say in order to keep women in a subjective or a subjugation and to keep them in servitude, they use the Bible as the premise to say this is what it's supposed to be.
Yes. And it's almost like they're going, it's like the Muslims How Muslims treat women.
Kind of.
But just another version of.
It's just a different version, but they use Christianity for that.
Yes, they did.
But when you went into the actual TV series, it was, and this is how it made me really uncomfortable and I understood what Alicia was talking about. What it did was, there was terrorist activity that killed the president and killed the Congress. So the world was in turmoil. And these big businessmen who came together and said the best way to bring people together is under Christian religion. And then with like pollution and everything was going on, a lot of these women were getting sterile.
Yes, because so, of the, what is it, because of the...
There was the pollution and, and everything that was going on during that time. So, but there was a lot of fertile women still left.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did, they centered on the promiscuous women, the women who wasn't married, the woman offered, which was weird because I didn't understand what her name was, but her name is spelled O-F-F-R-E-D, Offred. And they kept saying Offred. But the reason why she was called Offred is because the commander, her main guy that she's supposed to have the child by, his name was Fred.
Mm-hmm.
So she was of Fred.
Oh.
And that's why they called her Offred.
Wow.
Except for saying, oh, she's of Fred. And I was like, whoa, that's kind of fucking cool. So it was kind of cool in that way.
Yeah, it was. That's cool.
But the thing is, you know, even during the movie, you started hearing it. And I started getting it around the third episode. But they was treating women kind of like, you know, kind of disrespectful. Wasn't married. And I didn't understand that. But they was like, well, don't mind these people. We under martial law anyway. And I was like, what the hell are they under martial law? So then they start explaining how the terrorist activity and martial law had to bring things back together. But then these oligarchies or these people with money rose to the power of saying, now let's dictate what goes on.
Yeah.
And they wanted to repopulate the country by saying, let's breed women to the high class people.
Well, they were like the
high class family. Sorry,
yeah, the women were given to the families to have a child.
Yes,
so you had some of them that were servants, but you had them given. Then the ones that were there were supposed to be there to give birth because they were more fertile.
Yeah, those are the handmaidens.
Yeah, so they had children.
Right.
So they were fertile.
And they knew that.
Right. And the thing is, they treated them, and the wives couldn't have, it's not that the wives couldn't have children.
No, a lot of them couldn't, baby.
Okay.
Because they were sterile because of that.
Okay.
Otherwise, they would have been fine. They wouldn't need handmaidens. So they use a portion of, in the Bible, with Jacob, his wife couldn't have children. So she said, take my handmaiden and let her bear our children.
But see, from the one we were looking at, the wife knew that her husband was sterile.
So that's just a single one. That was the single wife right there. But the other wives, the husbands wasn't sterile.
No, they wasn't.
No, so that was just one off. That was Fred. Fred was sterile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't want to admit to it or whatever like that. But she was kind of like, yo, You crazy freak. I know you can't have children, so I'm going to do things in my way.
Right.
And, you know, we jumping into it. But the thing is, Offred, which is the main character, the main protagonist in there, she narrates throughout the episodes and the whole series. And her life started with she married a man, and they had a child. And then the laws start kicking in.
Right. And
but I didn't understand why they didn't see them as being, you know, legitimate.
Right. I didn't understand that either.
But we missed it. So they kind of said it in there, but we must have missed it. So what happened was he was divorced. So when he was divorced, they decreed that no divorces would be legal. So he was actually still considered married, but yet he was with this other woman with a child, which made her an adulteress.
Oh.
So men had the control, so he wasn't wrong. she was wrong.
So because he was married before,
and they didn't recognize that
the divorce.
Exactly. So it ostracized her, and I was like, oh,
I didn't.
And
know
I missed that.
That
but yeah. We missed that. Yeah, so which made it. That's why she was there. All the women who were gay, they made sure that they were part of it too. The handmaiden, and what they did with the handmaidens, they was a group. It was almost like they went to a handmaid's school,
mm-hmm,
and then you know, these rich families would come out and pick the handmaiden that they wanted.
Because if the women were single, and if they were single or the what you said, the situation where their partner was divorced, but it wasn't legalized.
So think about it. And this is what made me uncomfortable, and it made it more interesting to me. The way in society right now, how they kind of look at women as, oh, she's just, look how she throws herself out there. She's a whore.
Mm-hmm,
she's
mm-hmm.
She thinks she's more than that. She's she sleeps with other women.
Yeah.
Things like that. And they criminalize those activities for women.
Right, right.
They actually criminalized it for men as well. So the law went in, Christian-wise, for not having lust or anything in that matter. So remember when the one guy that the handmaiden had a child by, he was still having sex with her.
Yeah.
And he had to go before the board or the commanders or whatever. And he got charged with a law for lusting and going against whatever needed been done. And he cut his goddamn hands off. I was like, whoa, this is crazy as hell.
Yeah, he cut his hands off. I was like, I didn't understand that part. I was like, so the other ones are doing it too. So it's just they didn't get caught.
So they all had this crazy. So it almost looked like Studio 52, or I don't know. My former brother used to tell me about that in New York. They used to have Plato's Playhouse and everything. So all of these sex parties. So it was illegal, but they go across the border or across to another city, and they would have that. And all of these other rich guys, they'll come there and sleep with the whores that was there, or prostitutes or whatever. They would show up there and have sex with these women, or bring a woman there to have sex with, and then they would go out. So it was like this whole dystopia was like really, really crazy. And you know, these rich, crazy people do stuff like that right freaking now.
Right.
And
right.
If you have them in power, and you know, Alicia and I was talking about this earlier. If you look at the people that's in power, you have Trump that easily shows disrespect for women, especially if they don't even look the way he wants to.
Yeah, so, because it's just, I mean, because it's interesting when you got the vice president who feel that way. I could just imagine that's exactly how he feels, that the women places at home, mm-hmm. You should be in the kitchen, you shouldn't be working, you shouldn't be lusting. I mean, just the way...
Subordinate.
Yes, yes.
Because he has a Christian right thoughts of how women should be. So if he says the Bible is the law, and the man is the head of the household, and if you have a woman working, they still should be subordinate to a man. He sees that right now,
mm-hmm.
Which is crazy. And again, I'll keep going back to the one thing. He doesn't want to be in a room with a woman by himself because, yes. you know, God doesn't want to put you in a position of lust. And I'm like, dude, just don't lust. What the hell is wrong with you?
Yes, but exactly.
With him saying that's the rule of the Bible, this guy can be in place and start trying to do Bible or Christian-related rules.
Yes.
So, but let's go to the top. So Elizabeth Moss is the main, her name, Alfred, or June Osborne. Her real name from the day they changed her name, but her real name was June Osborne. And she's amazing. We saw Elizabeth Moss. She's played in another series that we loved that was nominated too. It was... what was the name of that? At the Top of the Lake. and the new one is coming out. But she was in that. She was great. But before that, she was in Mad Men.
Yep.
And she was nominated for awards there. But she just was competing against a lot of good people. But this one, she really stood out.
Yeah, she knocked this out the park. This was her show. This is definitely her.
This was exactly her
show. Yeah, and I mean, the actual story is so good because, you know, following her and the man she married and her daughter and how they try to escape, not realizing that they didn't get far enough. Mm-hmm. To get out of there. And so she thought that her husband was dead. And
So they was trying to get away.
Right.
And
right.
They was working with people who was trying to work with them.
Right.
So again, Canada was a safe spot. Just like in the slavery days, get to the north and you'll be fine.
Yep.
So once again, they used that concept of, you know, Canada takes care of people. You know, they not as crazy as the, you know, the Americans down here. So if you get across the border, you will be safe.
Right.
So they was trying to get there. But what made it interesting, too, is there's always a man or two who saw this as, no, this is wrong, and this women need to be this way. And then there was the men that said, this is wrong, and I'm going to help.
Right.
And a lot of these men got killed just because they was trying to help families.
Yes.
As well as certain women as well.
Yes, to get out of their country, yes.
Oh, and gay men was also part of, you know, they're not down with the cause. Because, again, they used the basis of the Bible.
Yeah, they did. And the men and the women were tortured or killed because of their sexual beliefs.
Yeah, or taken up for the women. So they didn't even tolerate that. So they had two other characters that kind of stood out for me. Well, I say three, but two other ones. The other one was Samira Wiley.
Yes.
She was really good.
Oh, she was awesome in this. That was her best friend.
Maura.
Yeah, that was her best friend.
Yeah, her best friend that she hung out with is a black lady. She was gay, but that was her best friend. They just hung out like that and had just a good time. But they got separated, and then they came together as handmaids.
Now, remember, they both tried to escape. That's how they got separated.
Yeah, doing the handmaid school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She tried to break away out of the
handmaid school.
Yes.
But they got to get away. But, you know, they had just these paramilitary people all over the place.
Yeah, they had no respect for women. I mean, they were just beating up women, just like...
Oh, they didn't care.
Yeah, they was like, you know, y'all are just a piece of shit, so we could beat y'all up and do whatever we want to do with you.
So they had no qualms with hitting women around because they established that women were subordinate, and they just said, look, they're not people. They're just women that's supposed to listen to what we said. So as they was trying to get away, they was waiting on a train to get to Boston in order to get further, but they got separated because they was asking questions which train went to Boston.
Yes.
But they just got separated and Maura got away, but Alfred got caught.
Yes, she did.
Got her feet beat. They beat her feet up. Mm-hmm. And from, what was her name? Aunt Liddy. Aunt Lydia.
Now, she's also in another TV show, too.
Who?
Aunt Lily.
Her name is Ann Dowd.
Yeah, she's in another movie. She's in another TV series.
Really?
Yes, she is.
She was on The Leftovers on the HBO series.
She's also in a new TV series. I just seen her.
Yes, they jump in and out of a lot of good stuff. But you've seen her around. She shows up in a lot of places, movies and TV shows.
Yes.
Which is like really, really cool. But she plays the Aunt Lydia, and she's the head mistress that teaches the handmaids discipline and how not to do certain things and to be compliant.
Mm-hmm. She's in a new show called Good Behavior as well.
Oh, that's the comedy, ain't it?
No.
Oh, that's the I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. They was talking about that too.
Mm-hmm.
But Good Behavior.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. This is the second season of it. Yeah. So, yeah, so she played a really good role to Aunt Out. But then they had the characters that centers around Alfred too, which was the wife. She's, I don't know if she's Irish or whatever. Her name is Yvonne Strahovski.
Yes, she's in a couple of, she was in Dexter.
Mm-hmm. So remember, she was the other crazy one. She was crazy like him, remember? And they was killing each other together.
Yes, that's right. So I remember her from that.
She was fantastic on there.
Yeah, she was sure crazy.
Fuck. But she was really, really good there. And she shows up in a lot of different roles here and there.
Yes, she does. You know, you see her here and there, and which is really awesome because you kind of know, like, damn, she's good as hell.
Mm-hmm. So it's surprising that she comes up. She's, you know, blonde hair, very attractive. Oh, she's from, she was raised in Australia. Wow. But from Polish immigrants. I knew that Lewski made me think otherwise. But she was raised in Australia. And then the Fred, who's Joseph Fiennes, handsome guy, but he has a full beard, but he just looks right there. He was born in Salisbury, Wiltshire, so kind of really different. You'll see him showing up in a couple of different things, nothing major. He's like a supporting character, nothing that stands out. He's in a series, American Horror Story, from 2012 to 2013. He was in Camelot. He played Merlin. Flash forward, 2009 to 2010. So he was in a lot of stuff that was like, who? That's, you know, that's what he was in. He was in a who? Who's that?
He's so
one of those movies and everything. So, but he played really good as the commander. You know, Fred was the commander. So they said, get ready for the commander. So it was really awkward that, again, when I was saying, quoting from the Bible, Jacob's wife said, take my handmaiden because I'm barren. I cannot bear you a child, but she would bear our child, and she would be there as he would impregnate his handmaiden to have a child for them. So they took that and said, hey, it's the law. That's what the Bible says. It's the law. That's what the Bible says. So in our society where people don't believe that the world is round or that we evolved from apes or lower forms of Neanderthals, Cro-Magnon, and so on and so forth, but they said it was Adam and Eve and God just placed them on the earth and made them out of clay and sat them on the corner, and then they had sex with each other, and then their children had sex with each other in order to populate the world. People believe that. And they believed that there was a whole bunch of animals in a boat, and Noah went elsewhere. So this was just really made you like, damn, can this kind of goddamn happen? And when you was looking at it, baby, as it, even when it was going through in the storyline, and this is the other thing that I like too, as the story, the episodes went on, they start separating the characters.
Yeah.
So they start giving you the storyline behind, like, the main character.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was trying to go through the whole, you know, the whole series as far as the relationships and how it really got started to the way they was treated. Because, like, the first part was when they went to the coffee shop and got coffee, and the guy was so nasty to
him. Yeah, so was that episode two or three? I think that's when I started understanding.
Yeah, that was like two or three. Yeah.
That's when I started.
And that was it. Like, I wanted to go across that.
I was like, go back and kick his ass.
Yeah, exactly.
But
that was,
then they start talking about,
yeah, that
the
was
rules
the start of it. Yeah, that was the start of it. And then you started seeing, like you said, that, you know, them trying to escape and them getting the daughter and his wife and him. Him getting away the way he did was just crazy.
Yeah, so that was exciting.
Yeah,
when he separated her husband.
Yes,
his name is O.T. Fogben. Ooh, what the hell is that?
Yeah, he's probably African.
Yeah, 30 ounces.
Yeah, he's from London, England.
O.T. Fogbenly.
Mm-hmm.
Born in London, raised in Spain and Nigeria. Interesting. But yeah, so he had his own little series that they went through to show what he went through, a little of his history, how much he loved his wife, and then when they got separated, the things he had to go through.
Yes, just to, he his escape was just he got crazy. Shot and, you know, yeah, for him, it was that was interesting. And then he got to Canada.
Yep, and then he became an advocate.
Yeah,
to free the women from that area in the United States,
right?
That this dystopia that was occurring and everything.
So as you go along, you see that they had to be trained to be handmaidens, and then they had to discipline them. They almost treat them like cattle.
Yeah,
you
know slaves. What I'm saying? They were like, they were slaves.
Exactly. And then as you see, they was like, okay, so for us to survive, we're gonna have to give in, whether we like it or not.
Yep.
And then you saw how the ones who were so strong got treated so badly, like the one who had her eye poked out, you know, and she had that baby and she mentally just went crazy. And she tried to save her. Right. You know what I'm saying? So you see so many like you said, as you see the TV series, it starts to break up the characters to try to understand them and tell you the storylines of each one of why they where they at right now. And, you know, the thing, another thing was that you knew her husband couldn't have children. Well, you didn't know that because they gave you the vision of, you know, how they had to have sex. And they, you know how they were sitting in the car. It's like, okay, so how do we justify our wives allow us to have sex? Well, we say it's the ritual, something like that.
Yeah, they said it can't be ritual. It'll be a ceremony.
It'll be a ceremony, exactly. And the wife had to be there.
Yeah,
because you know they ain't gonna allow this shit to happen.
Yeah. Then they said, but we use the sorcery material from the Bible, and you can't go against that because that's what they framed their government. Did Gilead. Over they
right,
framed it
right,
in that.
Right.
So if the women say I don't like it, then you're going against the law of the Bible. Right. So how could you go against it? Here's one thing that I didn't know. This is interesting too. It's a little trivia thing. It says there were no black characters in the original source novel.
Really?
Because Gilead had classified all black people as children of Ham in the Bible. This is a reference to the belief held by some fundamental Christian denominations. So, which was like really crazy that black people are descendants from Noah's son Ham and are therefore subjected to a curse leveled by Ham by Noah.
So explain that so people can understand.
So Noah, actually the son of Ham, said you will always be a slave because of, and I don't remember what he did, why he made him that way. So, cause I haven't read a Bible in years, but so that's how Christians saw that black people were descendants of Ham. So that's what they did when they moved slaves to the United States and said, read the Bible because you're descendants of Ham and you should be slaves and should be subordinate to white people and other people because you're that descendant. So the book took that because they was using references from the Bible. But it said that the producers of the show made a conscious choice of deviating from the aspects of the book so there would be a chance to include black characters and actors in the show, including the casting Samira Wiley as Alfred's friend and fellow handmaid Maura. And it was kind of interesting because, you know, then she happened to be married to the black guy.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of hard. And again, since this was England that the book was written over and she was Canadian, you normally have that white gentrification and things that takes over so many areas. So I thought that was interesting that they changed it. But they made a conscious decision to say, we're going to put some black people in there because we don't want people saying, oh, black people can't be in the United States. What the hell's going on? Now, they could have made it extreme and added to it by saying black people are slaves again. But I don't think that would have went over well.
No, it wouldn't have.
So I think they did well.
I think they did an excellent job. And because my I was asking that question to my and myself. It's like, okay, so why would they put a black eye as her lover or her husband? You know what I'm saying?
So that was intentional.
Yeah. So
which
that,
is good.
I mean, so that was one thing I asked. So, you know, so him getting away and then Maura, her best friend, was also taking the class with her.
Mm-hmm. And so she went through all of that with her.
Yeah.
And she had to become a prostitute in order to survive after she left.
Yeah.
Otherwise, she would have been subjected to being a handmaiden all over again.
Right. So she escaped.
Yeah, she escaped anyway.
And she...
Because, you know, Alfred said, you need to fight. I don't know what the hell. Yeah. You, my friend, and you've always been this way. You need to stop doing this and you need to fight.
Yep.
And she, I was like...
Rrr. And not only did she escape again, you know, she got to Canada.
Yeah. And got with her... What's the name? Alfred's husband.
Yes, yes.
So, which was like really cool.
So that's another thing too. And then her daughter is still being they kidnapped her. They took her daughter away from her, and so they holding her daughter as captive as well.
Well, they're not holding her as captive. They took her away.
Right.
So, but the wife said, "I have influence over your daughter, so don't you dare do anything," because she wound up getting pregnant. And the wife said it wasn't, he didn't get pregnant by the commander because he's too weak and he has a weak seed. So she made sure she slept with the other guy, which we didn't really talk about. So I needed to ask you about that too. The other guy, I think his name was Max.
Yeah, his name was Max. His name so, is Max.
So Max, his storyline, right?
Uh-huh.
His storyline was... Who was he working for? Remember when they first hired him, he said, you're going to work for us. And he was kind of being like an undercover guy.
He was but just he was a chauffeur.
No, but remember, they wanted him to spy on the commander.
Yeah, I mean, but the way things turned out, it didn't turn out the way it's supposed to be.
I know, but what confused me was even while they talked to them, all of a sudden it stopped. It wasn't like he was reporting back to them. He was talking to them to a certain point. Then you didn't see that he was talking to that one main guy again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He stopped talking to him or stopped reporting to him. That doesn't mean that didn't exist. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So I'm wondering where does he stand? Because even when we got to the end.
Remember, they used him. So he's like just a subtle person, but he's more... I think it's much more to him than what we're seeing right now.
No, I know that.
Because of the fact that his boss couldn't have children.
Mm-hmm.
His wife was very, very conniving.
Well, again, and this is what we didn't talk about. Prior to this society changing, she was a really prominent, smart woman who wrote a book
yes.
about how the women strength rights. Of women rights and all of that. She was all into that. And then when everything flipped, she had to say, nope, men are all right and I have to go against
yeah, she
that.
Had to, yeah, she had to she give had to in. Be, yep.
Yeah.
She had to change her whole life and not realize what she was doing.
Yep.
She yep. really didn't because she was supporting him and everything he did and didn't think that it would have turned out the way it was. And the men had total control, which was kind of interesting because the one male who was having sex with the girl
mm-hmm.
who had the baby, they said he broke a rule and chopped off his hand. Was that the one?
Mm-hmm.
So the thing was is that, but the other men were doing the same thing.
He got caught. That was at the 22-minute mark. We talked about that. And again, when the commander was telling the group, I think, you know, he learned his lesson and we need to go from that. And then the other guy was like, nah, his wife said he needs to learn. She loves him so much, but he has to understand
but
and
see,
abide by the rule.
This,
so
that,
hers was revenge.
Right, but see, I mean, it was just... crazy because I keep thinking about that you know it's like so the thing is that you're all are doing it and everybody knows you're all doing it. Hell, he even knows you're doing it, but yet it's like, okay, even though we all know we're doing it, we're just going to cut off his hand because he need to be set the example.
Yeah, so he had to be. Now, if his wife said, everything's fine, let's go with that, there wouldn't be any additional noise going out to say, eh, don't worry about it. If she said it was fine and we know we're not as clean as, you know, we know cleaner than him, we can let it go.
So remember when she got the baby back, mm-hmm, and the other lady was like, well, you know, let me help you with the baby. She said, no, don't let me. I don't want your help.
She said, well, your husband was wrong. And she said, your husband no better than he is.
Yep, because your husband, that girl died. The other girl died because of they had an affair or something like that. But nobody sex said. With her,
but they never talked about it. But if he was going to those little clubs, and he was probably doing the same thing with her.
Right.
And exactly. She didn't want it to happen. So that's why she killed herself.
So that's and she why. Was like, and that's why I was trying to figure out, I'm like, wait a minute. Why hasn't anything happened to him, knowing that the other guy got caught, but everybody knew what he did?
Because he got caught.
No, but they knew what her other husband did.
Because he got caught.
But nobody was going to tell on him.
That's no, because you tell on him, you're going to tell on them. But this guy publicly got caught. If he said, well, they were doing it too, they all going to say, I don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But if they said, we know what you did because she said it out front in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. And your wife said, yeah, I think he needs to be punished under the law. Yeah. And it'll help him because I love him so much and I think this would help him. She was like, nah, motherfucker. You holding me in this hostage position and you think you're going to do what the hell you want to do? Nope. There you go.
So, okay. So I got you. Because that's where I was like, that's why I kept coming back to it. Yeah, because
you stand in front of them. They're kind of like, how are you going to convict this dude and you're doing the same damn thing?
Exactly. That's why I kept like, wait a minute. I don't understand. Why did they cut off his hand? I didn't understand that. The other thing was that, you know, it was like, you know, getting pregnant, the part of them, the women getting pregnant, mm-hmm, you know, that was crazy too. You know, it was like, the first part was like, they thought she was pregnant, even though they hadn't even done the pregnancy test, mm-hmm, and she wasn't pregnant, and she was mad at her, but she knew why, you know, as many times as they were, the ritual, how they inseminate, the, mm-hmm, it was crazy.
Yeah.
I was thinking that was like the ceremony. That's what it's called. The ceremony. I'm like, this shit was crazy. I'm like, what the hell?
But the point of the matter was they don't know until the woman shows signs of it. So she allegedly showed signs. So she was like, damn, maybe the commander could impregnate her. You know what I mean? So she was kind of like, it's a miracle. Remember she kept saying it's a miracle?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fucking miracle. Because this dude is celibate as fuck. Yeah. I mean, or sterile. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, remember when she went to the doctor, when she was dehydrated? The doctor already said, I can help you.
Yes, you can.
Because these guys, most of them are sterile anyway.
Yes.
I can help you.
Yes.
So they all knew. But she was like, look, I'm tired of waiting. So that's why she was like, Max, hook us up. Well, his name ain't Max. His name was Nick, but his real name is Max.
Yeah.
But the guy's name is Nick.
She's like,
she kind of fell for him because, I haven't had sex in a while, so now I got to have it. Yeah. So she was just used to having sex with him.
Because it was just, I mean, that made sense. I mean, because she knew that her husband couldn't do it. You know, he was sterile, period.
Yeah.
So she's like, okay, I need for you to have sex with her so I can have a baby because I want a baby. And the reason, and they, you know, and the thing is, I think that they had to have a baby soon or had to, it had to.
Because then they would have to get another handmaid.
Yeah.
You know, and he's one of the top people. So in one way or another, he had to have a child to continue his legacy.
Because of the first handmaid they had. That's another thing is finding out what happened. I would like to have known. We knew that she killed herself.
Right.
And so, but you didn't know the whole detail of it. So it was bits and pieces.
You kind
of
did. Because remember when she said, you didn't think this was going to happen? Remember when she told him that, when she took him out?
Yeah.
So he was taking her to the clubs before too.
So, okay.
So, and she probably didn't want that and was kind of like, look, I'm tired of this. And she killed herself. She was just done with that shit. So that's why she was like, this dude, even though we can't have a child, he's still taking her to these other places. And she was like, you need to stop that. You know, you need to stop. Because she knew he was doing
it. Yeah. Yeah, you know? She did. But
that's why she had sex with him. And he was like, you know, that's not even allowed. So he's not even allowed to have sex with
his own wife. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I mean, it was just crazy. It's just crazy.
But
how it's all, just how the storyline is.
Yeah. So that's, and again, maybe not as extreme to having these women as handmaidens, but to have women as of subordinates again, you can kind of see that can happen.
Yeah. And the thing was is that it just was crazy how the wife felt that she had to control the whole situation. She had to control everything
because she was the smart one,
right? Because
remember when there was a portion in there that the Mexican government came there,
yeah, because they couldn't have children.
They couldn't have children because they was having issues. She said 6 years or 6 months, something like that,
right?
But they wanted to trade. And then they kind of find out they want to trade handmaidens. They want fertile women so they can repopulate their country as well. Mm-hmm. They wanted that. And it was kind of like, oh, this is so great. You see it as your duty. And then Alfred was like, no, we're raped every couple of nights.
Mm-hmm.
We're beaten. We're threatened. We're all of this. This is nothing that I wanted. We was captured and we were kept here, mm-hmm, against our will.
Yeah.
And she was like, but we need y'all.
Yeah.
And she was like, this is some bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, there was a way. I mean, that was the only way for them to control them getting fertile women.
Yeah.
By creating this new society.
Yep. Yep.
You know, to.
Otherwise, these women are like, man, I ain't sleeping with your ass.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
You're taking away my rights? No, I'm not. No, I can't do that.
I mean, it was so interesting because, you know, the other girl stole the baby.
So, yeah. So, there was another character in there. She had a child by one of the...
That's the one who got his hand cut off.
Mm-hmm, by that family. Soon as she had the baby, they was like, yup, you go somewhere else and have a baby with someone else.
Yeah.
So, they sent her to another family. And they was like, yep, he's coming in. Now, you got to impregnate her. And she was like, fuck this. And they was like, she's crazy. But she left, got back to the house, took her baby, and was going to jump off the bridge.
That's right.
And I was like, Alfred said, are you sure she's in her right damn mind? And he was like, she's stronger than you thought. I mean, Aunt, what's her name, said that.
Yeah, whatever her name is. Yeah.
Aunt Lydia.
But still, she jumped, she handed the baby over and jumped off the bridge.
But she didn't die.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, so.
And then they came, when she, you know, they, you know, to show that she recovered from her injury.
Name was Off Glenn.
Oh, yeah, from the other.
Of Glenn.
Yeah. So she got better, and then they brung her to a location and was trying to get the other handmaidens to stone her.
Yep. And they was like,
nope. One girl's like, I'm not going to do that to her. And they the police knocked her ass out. But Orfred,
mm-hmm,
she basically just said, she dropped the stone and said, I'm sorry, Aunt such and such. That's all she said. I'm sorry.
Yeah, she said,
I'm sorry, Aunt.
Aunt Lydia.
Aunt Lydia. Sorry.
And they dropped the rock.
Yeah.
But and she was like, there's going to be a penalty. You're going to pay for this. Mm-hmm. You are going to pay for this. So they end the series, them taking her away. But he said, what's his name? Said something to her, though, before she left. Remember? I keep calling him, yeah, it's Nick. Nick said something to her like, it's going to be okay, or things will be something. And then she just left.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
It was interesting.
Because they didn't know. The thing was that the people who she living with didn't know what was going to happen to her.
Because they didn't know what happened.
Oh, and his wife was mad as hell. Like, yeah, like she said, what
did you do?
What did you do? And she just smiled at her.
She looked at her like, whatever.
Yeah.
Bitch!
Yeah, she just smiled at her, which I thought was like, she keep thinking that this woman is stupid. You have grown-ass women.
But she's usually in control of things.
Yeah, yeah.
So when she's not in control, she gets upset. And that's why she was like, look, I hate it. Your wife's, she's terrible. She's a terrible woman. But no, so wanted to do that. Handmaid's Tale, The Handmaid's Tale. So really good series. I'm looking forward to the next one because I think you're going to start seeing some of the other characters' stories come out.
Yeah.
Even though Alfred is the main character. According to the book, there's two narratives. There's the Alfred narrative or June's narrative and just the handmaidens' situation. Mm-hmm. And they start centering on the situation that the handmaidens are going through.
Right.
I think it may start deviating back and forth.
Right. I want to listen to the audiobook to find out what really happened in the book to compare it to the actual TV show. So that's going to be, to me, more exciting because we did that before with the, the book from Sweden.
Oh, the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yeah, yeah.
So the other one I wanted to read, and now I gotta have to find it, is American Gods, because we went through that one.
Yes.
And the series should be coming back on. But I wanted to get the details on that. So that's another one that I want to get the audiobook for that.
So we know the Handmaid's Tale was, very, very good. Mm-hmm. The TV series. The only thing I didn't like about that is Hulu has this bad habit of trying to be like ABC, NBC, and CBS and put it out one a week.
You can wait.
I was like, really? Seriously? Kind of wait.
They don't let you. You can binge at the end of the series.
Yeah, Netflix is like,
kind of do that. Netflix is like, say, here you go.
Here you go. Do whatever the hell you want to do because we're going to get a lot of people to go watch it anyway.
And then after the first series, then they'd be like, hey, tell your friends.
Let's watch it again.
And you can watch it again.
Let's watch it again.
Especially if you want to see something that relates to something else.
I mean, that's just how it is. But it was very good. It was very, very good. I'm just curious to find out how the book compared to the TV series.
So as you read the book, so when the series comes back on, we can kind of relate it to that.
Yes, definitely.
And then that'll be a good, segue into, here's season two.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a good one.
So, Urban Lifestyle Cafe, I'm Michael the Bougie Black Brother, .com and Bougie Black Bro on IG, as well as Twitter, and Alicia Fine Black Woman without the K, IG and Twitter. Go to my Facebook page, the Bougie Black Brother Network. This is the Facebook page. So you'll start seeing a lot of the different series that comes on there. So we have 8 different podcasts that show up there. Go to YouTube, Bougie Black Brother, on there, and you can see a couple of our YouTube videos, especially the ones that we're doing with Hidden Gems. We have a great one coming up with Dr. Rashawn Hodge. Dr. Hodge is really a great guy who deals with chronic pain with cannabis, and very, very enlightening. So if you get a chance, check that out as well. But got anything, baby?
Nope. Well, that's it.
Urban Lifestyle Cafe. Check us out on our next episode. We're probably almost ready to see Insecure. Then we can binge watch all of that. And
finish up Ballers.
We'll finish Ballers up and perhaps we do Ballers.
Not Seinfeld. What's his name?
That just started this weekend.
Oh, Curb Your Duty. Oh, yeah.
So it's just one that came out.
Yeah.
With his crazy ass.
Oh, he is crazy.
So, see you next time on Urban Lifestyle Cafe.
Bye.
Later.